Welcome to the teaching and preaching ministry of Reverend K.C. Williams. The word is taught in simplicity, yet with power. As the deer panted for waters, let your soul long for God's word. Sit back, relax, and enjoy God's word. Now, Reverend K.C. Williams.
Father, we give you praise this morning. We thank you for being God. Thank you for your Son who died in our place. Thank you for the redemption we have in Him. Thank you for taking all our sins away. And now we can say, Abba Father, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. And today our heart is open to you. Our mind is receptive. We receive your word. Your word falls upon good ground. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name of prayer. Have a seat in God's presence. I say, praise God. Say, the sermon topic is titled Forgiving. Now, in case you don't know, forgiving is actually the past tense of forgive. It means it has happened. Say, it has happened. So, forgiving, yeah. So, the degree of your understanding of the redemptive work of Christ is the determinant of your spiritual growth. Say that again. The degree of your understanding of the redemptive work of Christ is the determinant of Christ. You have believed in vain. So you must keep in memory of these things. Don't be among those people who say that the things, the redemptive work of Christ is like a baby stuff. Therefore, they are questing for the deeper things. Deeper things, they call it. Deeper things, they call it. Now, I don't know if you read my study last night. I was teaching you people on how to become what? A firebrand apostle. I'm going to say it now. How to become a firebrand apostle. It's so simple and easy. So simple. First of all, change your name. The name is Brojohn. Change it to Brojohn Fire. Or Shamaria. Or look for any deep name. There's some names that are deep. Rebrand your name. If you want to go so deep, then attach a Muslim name to your name. It will not be like you were derived Islam to Christianity. Once you can be able to do such a thing, that's the first thing. Second thing, you now go up. Overhaul your Facebook. Look for one deadly picture. If you cannot squeeze your face very well in that picture, in your profile picture, then go and look for a lion. Or you can match lion and lamb together. Hallelujah. I said, are you see here? You can join it together at your profile picture. Then go to any of the established apostles in the Facebook wall. When they post something, comment. Say, You're in the same frequency. Like, yes, sir. Thank you, my brother. Tell them. Once you go to the next, the market from your local church, don't submit to any pastor. Go and be hosting program up and down. You can start with prayer vigils. Hope you know that just have programs. Hope you're aware, right? So anytime you tell them, let us pray, they're going to jump to it. It doesn't matter whether you're praying the will of God or not. Do those things. They begin to change your words. Little things make it to be deep. Never must you preach understanding salvation. Call it the mystery of salvation. Never will you preach the five steps to effective leadership in church. Call it the five mysteries of effective ministry in church. Because once it's mystery, then you have become apostolic in nature. Now, this happens when people begin to look for the deep things. There's nothing deep about the things of God. Say, yes, sir. God didn't come to give you Christ and all to make it deeper for you to. No, there's nothing deep. The simplicity of God's word is actually the integrity of God's word. Jesus Christ, who was the embodiment of God himself, when he came to earth, he was teaching in parables. Parables are not difficult to understand. Rather, they are earthly stories that are used to communicate heavenly visions by communicating sense now. That means the essence of Jesus coming was what his teachings was aimed at is so that people will understand it in the simplest form of it. Glory to God. So if you're here, you're looking for those deep things, spiritual keys, seven portals being opened unto you, dimensions. You're not going to find it here. Because this place is a simple place where the simple truth of God's word is being taught. Say, I receive God's word in utmost simplicity and yet with power. Glory to God. And Paul began to stress, Apostle Paul began to stress the need for you to run away from such teaching that demean the simple work of Christ. Look at the word the Bible said there. Hallelujah. It's hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. So don't be the ones who are craving for the deeper things. Let me just continue. Don't begin to look for the ones which are deeper. The things of God are deep as it is. Now, one thing you begin to notice about those Christians who are looking for the deeper things is that they miss the things they're supposed to know. Any brother or sister who you see who's always shouting fire, trying to talk about the testimonies of men of old, when you engage them inside the redemptive work of Christ, you find how unknowledgeable they are. You get enough, eat them and put the fruits there. If I did not finish this tree, let me know. They ate one apple. They actually ate apple. They said they ate one. They are punished. I will finish the tree. Know that, you know. I don't know. Some of you, if we were to be Adam, once the judgment was declared, you just go back to the tree and finish it. It does happen. So, some of you start selling it. Glory to God. So it's not the sin of Adam that made you to become a sinner. And by the way, God never called anyone a sinner in the Eden. Did you notice that? He never called anyone a sinner. Just as the nature of sin was implanted then. Bible says where there's no law, there's no what? There's no sin. But the consciousness of sin came through that breach. Nobody taught Cain on how to kill Abel. Am I communicating? So the seed of sin was sown. But that doesn't make them sinners. I'm saying something that is deep now. The seed of sin was sown. But that doesn't make them what? Sinners. Get this. Most of them actually sinned. Cain killed what? Abel. But he wasn't killed. Because there was no law standing. Sin became sin when law was given. Hear this. The believer in Christ now could eventually sin, but is not a sinner because he's no more under the law. Did someone catch that? The same thing that happened in Eden, where such ones, they sinned, but there was no legal bounding. There was no legal grounds to call them sinners. That what happens after redemption, we're no more bound by the law. If we eventually sin, I'm not saying you should sin, but you might sin. Some of you have sinned in advance. You will catch up with the sin later. If you eventually sin, you are not a sinner anymore. Am I communicating? Because you are no more bound by the law. Who caught that? Oh, glory to God. It will continue. I say glory to God. You know, how we have been looking at this thing has been like, the whole story was like, God created man, put them in this sinful world, and then sat in heaven, begin to check those ones who sinned and those who did not sin. If you sin, you put in hellfire. If you make it, you go to heaven. That's the picture we have then. Later, Jesus Christ, the better part of God, the God that is merciful, now came and died to help us to come back to God. No, that is not the correct story, although it appears to be. But the real stuff is that God himself created man. Man fell into sin. God himself came to die for man. That's the story. Don't change the narrative. Jesus is God himself. Say glory to God. Jesus is God. I said God. Jesus is what? God by existence. And he's God by existence and Savior by what? Assignment. He had to become Jesus to save the world for their sins. He's the same God. The same God. So he's the one who actually, it was not that he changed his mind. The redemptive process has been predetermined before the ends of the world. It was the plans of God to save man. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now hear this, hear this. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23. 6, verse 23. And the Bible will say, for the wages of sin is what? Is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The payment we had to pay for sin was to die. The payment we have to pay for our sins is what? Was to die. No other thing. When they kill the blood of goats, animal is not the sacrifice for sin. Sir, yes, sir. It will take the same being to atone for the sins of the being. Now, this is the reason why you understand why angels could not die. This is why you should understand why God has to become man to die for man. Am I communicating? God had to become Jesus, who was a man. Hope you know Jesus Christ is traceable. By the way, some of you still think that these Bible stories you read about is just fables, like it's just stories. May God help you to have money so you can actually believe more in God. When you travel to Israel, you begin to see River Jordan, the Dead Sea, all these places mentioned in the Bible still exist. To somebody who will get born again in the next 1,000 years. Jesus is not forgiving sin. He has forgiven sins. It's a past tense. It's a done deal. You need to understand it. He's not changing his mind anymore. It's a done deal. He can't even if he wishes to. He doesn't have the capacity to. Am I communicating? Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. The legal standard way of forgiveness of sin is through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of animals didn't do the perfect job. Oh, glory to God. We have the perfect job in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. In John chapter 1, you know, John the Baptist was one of just the very few prophets of the Old Testament that caught the essence of Jesus coming. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This statement didn't come by just looking at Jesus. Jesus didn't look like it. It was like normal human being. But John Baptist looked at him and said, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away what? The sins of the world. See, the objective and the essence of Jesus' coming was captured by John the Baptist. He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away what? The sins of the world. So what's the purpose of Christ coming to the world? To take away what? The sins of the world. And you're part of that word he came for. I said, hallelujah. You are part of that word. He summarized the essence of Jesus' ministry. Healing the sick is not what Jesus came for. You know why? Because there were prophets of old who healed the sick. Yeah. It's not by walking on water. Moses wrote, tore the Red Sea apart. It's not by miracles. The essence of Jesus' coming is what? To wash the sins of the world away. And no other prophet did that. It's not by resurrecting the dead. Elijah did so. Is it Isaiah's bone that even raised the dead? Is it Isaiah? Huh? Is it Elisha? Yeah, bones even raised the dead. Not even him himself, bones. So, came out the world of fire in my bones. Am I communicating? Oh, glory to God. So the essence of Jesus coming is what? To what? To save the world from their sins. And he did that. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Pay attention to this now. We're going to read together. 9, 11 to 15. Want to go, everybody? Verse 11. But Christ, being come as high priest, continue. Verse 12. Read that again. Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once. But see, there's no waste of words in the scripture. It would still make sense if he said he entered. But he said he entered what? Once. Continue. Into the holy place, having obtained. It's a past tense. Having what? Obtained eternal life. So he's not obtaining. He has obtained. Say he has obtained. Verse 13, everybody. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies the purity, refining of the flesh, verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead work to serve the living God? Come on now. I hope you understand. Now, I'm the one who is telling you now that the blood of animal did not forgive them their sins. I'm the one saying so. By what we've read from the scriptures that later on. But then, they were standing in right standing with God by them believing in the sacrifice of the animals. And hear me now. From then, the complete 1 year, they are declared as righteous as we are now. But what I'm going to say is that if the blood of bulls and all of those things they did there now can declare them righteous, in that same verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal spirit of him offered himself without spot to God? How much more the blood of Jesus? So now, semantically, if the blood of goats can keep them holy for 1 year, how much do you think the blood of Jesus should keep us holy? Let's have an answer. How long do you think the blood of Jesus Christ should keep us holy? Hey, let's not say eternal. Let's put a number to it. Look, I want to give one simple answer. At least, let's say the blood of Jesus will not try, at least 1 year. I want you to believe first that at least what? 1 year. Let's have a belief system that Jesus' blood makes us clean for what? 1 year. If you now believe that, they will now go to and see what the Bible now says. What the Bible says, he says, he has given us, let's continue in verse 15. For this cause is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were made under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. That means what Christ did is what? Eternal. It's forever. It's forever. That you sin does not, sin cannot pull a man who is in Christ away from Christ. If this is sounding like, let me go ahead again. There's something to say what we are saying. Empowering people to sin. Abi? There's a way this is said. If you say we're giving people license to sin, that means you say, you are also saying that God himself gave the children of Israel the license to sin. Because if God told them to kill an animal from the beginning of the year to make them holy for a whole year, and they won't have a sin, that means you are trying to say that God told them to what? Kill an animal, then sin unto it. Did they get that now? That's not what God said. That's not what we're saying. We're trying to teach the same thing that the Bible taught. The blood of Jesus is able to keep man who is in him forever saved. Forever saved. Forever sanctified in him. Now, if you ever think about salvation as being your actions, that's where you have begin to have issues with this. However, a saved man have good actions. Say, yes, sir. But let me say this. A saved man should have good actions. Say, yes, sir. For those people who are just joining us, for the What I'm saying now is like I'm empowering you to go and sing. No. The Bible says that we have received eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus. I mean, that scripture should make you to rejoice. Read it one more time from verse 11 to 15. Want to go, everybody? For Christ. I want to read it very loud and clear. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to 15. Want to go, everybody? I can't hear you. Glory to God. Now hear this. Jesus is not going to die for the sins you will commit. Try to change your perspective of things you've done in the past. Christ is not going to die for the sins you will commit. You know why? Because he has died once and what? For all. It's a one day thing. The moment he said it is finished, he actually meant you to. The end of the law has come. You are now a new man in Christ Jesus. Did you notice something? There was never an account on the Bible where the disciples of Christ had to confess Jesus as personal Lord and Savior before they got saved. I'm going somewhere with this. This was some people who are going to ask questions like, but Abraham did not confess according to Romans chapter 10 verse 9. He didn't say Jesus is Lord and Savior and all of that. How will they say so when they don't know him? Am I communicating? They didn't know him. Abraham never knew Jesus. He never met him. But he had a faith on the process of redemption. And just by that faith he had, I hope you understand that if the other people who are not children of Israel, if they use animals to kill, they're still going to be on the same path. I hope you understand that not all children of Israel actually did that sacrifice. I hope you're aware. You guys are not getting me. Or did it. All you thought is every Israelite that was in Egypt that killed an animal to put in the lintel of the house. It's not all. It wasn't all. It couldn't have been all. And by the way, by that story we read in the Bible said, you should kill an animal and paint the lintel of the house. That by if I see the blood, I will pass over. Listen to this. If I see what? Come on. If I see what? The blood. Once you understand redemption of Christ Jesus, then you begin to see that the Old Testament was all summary of redemption of Christ. If I what? See the blood. If I see what? If I see what? I don't care what is going on inside of that room. If I see what? I will pass over. So what I'm looking at is not your conduct, but what? The blood. Now, you have to get this right. It's not as if God doesn't care what is going on inside, but that's what you're doing has no capacity to save you. If I see what? The blood. So what makes the ones who were saved to be saved is the obedience and faith in that what was said, the blood of Jesus. If I see the blood, I will pass over you. So now, the same thing, if God sees the blood on you, you have passed into eternal life. Are you here? If he sees the blood on you, and how do we have the blood? The blood came at the redemption. How do we assess it? The moment we confess Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior, we are saved. We have the blood mark on us. And if he sees the blood, what happens? He passes over. If he sees, say, I have the blood on me. And once he sees it, he passes over. I'm going to teach more on this now. That now doesn't mean that because he sees the blood. Now, let me go deeper. I hope you are aware that there's a possibility that the nation of children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, that there were some people who were actually committing serious sins inside the house. But the blood was on the outside.
Did you hear the account that when the angels got there, the angels said, oh, you think it's my blood? Come outside here, idiots. We never heard that. The blood is enough. Say, the blood is enough. However, you'll be making a mockery of the blood. If eventually we peep into the house and see that the blood has saved you, but you are messing up on the inside. Did he or just said now? You're making a mockery. I never said that the blood is not able to save you. Come on. When we go to heaven, when we get to heaven, I will personally fight. I will stone people in book. Yes, because some of you are born again. You're not giving to work of ministry. When I get to heaven, my bro, rubbing shoulder with me, I will bite you because I've entered. You know, the most available material there will be hymn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That will be singing in heaven. I will stone you hymn. Because you're not doing ministry on your head. You don't care. I'm doing Bitcoin. I think Bitcoin is going to use in heaven. Hallelujah. One guy said that hallelujah is our heavenly language. That what it means is that people want to teach deep things. When they get to heaven, that what it means is that you want to say, have you eaten? Say, hallelujah. You want to say, have you eaten? Say, hallelujah. Say, well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say, Kukuma, let the keyboardist go there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is not a heavenly language. Say, yes, sir. It's an earthly language. In case you don't, it is Hebrew. You don't know before. Oh, glory to God. Oh, I'm saved. I was just thinking about this. If God had not died for us, then there's no point of us even coming to this world. Because we would definitely mess up. If not for grace. I'm thanking God I wasn't born in days of law. Me that like to break laws. Maybe by now they would have cut off my hands, my legs, because I would definitely do things. Oh, thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for the grace of God. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Say my sins are forgiven. Say my sins are forgiven. In 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1 or 2. Please get it, please. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 or 2. What about that thing to do in church? That's what I want to judge as fast as possible. 14 chapter 2, verse 1 or 2. The scripture said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Let's read together, everybody. Want to go from beginning? My little children, these things that you sin not. Pause. The writer said, I write this unto you that you should not sin. That's an instruction, right? The next verse. Read now. I didn't write it. Read it now. And if any man sin, that means there's a possibility. No, when they're writing this in Nigeria, is not in existence. Hope you're aware. And if any man sin, that means there's a possibility. Sin. As a sin, as see, you know, once in Nigeria, you're a sinner. You're not aware. How many of you, NEPA, you're about to do something with light? NEPA took the light. Some of you are so holy that you do not abuse the guy, like, you don't abuse the person, but you control it in your heart. You have Satan that fired that idiot. Anybody that off this light, hope you know someone that off it. One day, I feel that they are just joking with that light. You know, they have to off it. One guy will just off it. Eh? I'm saying things I can do if I was there. Just like, oh. Up NEPA! Shut up. Stay small again. Put it again. Up NEPA! I can do that. Girl. I know myself. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Verse 2. And he is the propitiation of our what? Our sins. And not for us only, but of the whole world. Said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. See what Message Translation says. MSJ says now. I write this, dear children, to guide you out of sin. But if anyone does sin, we have a priest friend in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. When he served as a sacrifice for our sins, he solved the problem for good. Not only us, but the whole world. Now hear me. I'm going to say something to you that might sound kind of deep. If a believer sins, asking for forgiveness is not the right thing to do. Just remember you have an what? Advocate. My say this is like, I've heard this over time and it doesn't work. It doesn't work because you've not believed what you're saying. When you find yourself in sin, you should actually, first of all, rise up from that sin. I didn't say you should stay on that sin. I'm saying I have an advocate, the Father. In Christ Jesus, I'm saved and satisfied. No. You have to rise up from that scene and get into the zone where you say, oh, thank you, Jesus, but this is what you died for. Oh, thank you, Father, because I'm forgiven. Oh, thank you, Father, because I have redemption in Christ Jesus. It's not that we have. That I have is not you're saying you have now. You have already have it. Now, what this will help you do is that it takes away this guilt consciousness. And that is the power of sin. Guilt is the power of sin. Am I communicating this morning? Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. I'm adding up now. Ephesians 1 verse 7. You there? 1 verse 7. And the Bible says, in whom we have redemption. In whom we have redemption. Through what? I didn't hear you. Through what? Through what? The forgiveness of sin according to riches of his grace. So if someone asks you, how do you access forgiveness? How is it done? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. So next time you hear the blood of Jesus Christ, what comes to your mind? Forgiveness of sin. Not protection from accident. Now, if you're still the one who shall believe Jesus in everything, I'm not going to stop you. But you're going to grow to that reality of it. But when the purpose is not new, then abuse becomes inevitable. Now, that's not really where I'm going to. If you did not use the right instrument for the right thing, you will not have the best of it. So the blood of Jesus was primarily used or was used for the forgiveness of our sins. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 4, chapter 1, verse 2. Verse 12, rather. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Are you there now? Bible says what? Want to go, everybody? Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Verse 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. 14, everybody. In whom? Want to go again? 14. Want to go? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. So, how do we have redemption? Through his blood. Through his blood. Through his blood. I'm going to give this analogy for the last time for those who are still new to this stuff we teach. Because the question has always been, sir, I once gave my life to Christ, but I sinned. Am I still born again? Let me start from the question. We did not give our life to Christ. We didn't have a life to give to Christ. Christ does not need that your life. The right thing is that he gave us his life. And these little things can actually be the reason why we mistake this whole stuff. Say, I received the life of Christ. I've taught you that the place of you giving your life, you only give your life after you've received the life of Christ. Am I communicating now? That's called consecration. Say, so sir, I sinned. And now, because I sinned, I don't feel worthy. Now, it's because you've not understood it. It was not your not sinning that made you to be born again. And the Bible says, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for them godly. Am I teaching good this morning? It is not your inability or your ability to stop sinning that made you to be born again at the first place. So you must take away yourself from the equation. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It is not your ability not to sin. I will say this and say it again until it enters inside of you. It is not your ability not to sin that makes you to be saved. If that be the case, no man is saved. Am I communicating? Some of us went to the altar to receive the life of Christ. From there, we gave our life, we took it back. Don't know that some people went to the altar. Father, forgive me for my sins. So, and they're looking at one girl. That means in the presence of the throne of mercy, they committed another sin on the throne of mercy. I say it again. It is not your ability not to sin that makes you to become born again. Just understand what I'm saying first. That says you can't sin. No, but I'm saying it is not your ability not to sin. The Bible says your righteousness is like a fading rag in his eyes. It is not your ability not to sin that makes you to be born again. I won't say something like this. If Jesus Christ should do rapture rehearsal, not the mental, just the rehearsal of it, but it will happen though, and I want you to be on a Sunday morning by 9:30 a.m. when all pastors will be in church. 9:30. You know, Sunday is like when everybody's holy. You see that guy that I went to club on Friday night, smoke on Saturday or two, on Sunday morning, hear him playing, Jesus, you love me too much. I don't know, Jesus Christ loves me too much. On Sunday morning, with your bow in your hand, just love, ah, God, they try you. So Sunday is supposed to be holiday. Then let Jesus Christ just, let the guy doing the trumpet just shake it small and blow the trumpet. Let the trumpet sound. But everybody will be judged according to our works. Did you hear that now? Not according to the grace of God, but according to our works. Now, if that trumpet should sound, we will not know. The population of the world will remain constant. Even the pastor preaching, including I, myself and I will not go. For any man of God you think is the holiest of them all, nobody will shift a bit. Because provided we are in this earth, there are struggles. Some people will look at men of God and look at and think that we are actually celestial human beings, like we have no sin in us. Especially those ones you see on TV, right? I think, you notice that when we are still, I mean, when we're growing up, pastor's children are so wayward. Notice that, right? You say, you know, those churches where we attend at home, that children are so wayward. Why? Is because, number one, is that they did not understand the gospel. What did that? I mean, I hope you know, someone may not understand the gospel and still be a pastor. Their dad did not understand the gospel, so he has to teach the things he cannot do in a way that he cannot do it. Imagine your pastor and your dad after being in church that just a little sin. Do you know by you shouting on your wife, you can go to hell? And the children at the back, don't you know? At the back of the church, daddy can lie. And that, there's nothing that man is saying that will impact them. But the man shouted at the wife at home. Can you marry a Nigerian girl and not shout? Think about it. I mean. Are they not the ones that were, Is it possible?
I heard one say about a man that said they are celebrating 55 years wedding anniversary of being married, and he said he has never raised his voice on the wife.
Yeah, how? The word all journalists came around. I want to ask the man why. How is that possible?
The man says, anyway, something happened on our wedding day. And when we were coming back on the wedding day, because we didn't have a car, we were using a horse. So the horse was moving us. You know, when the horse was so excited, throwing us, and the horse, and my wife, who was in front of me, told the horse, this is your last warning.
The horse kept on, just after a while, kept on throwing again. From nowhere, my wife drew out a gun, boom, and shot the horse. I said, I can't do anything.
My wife said, this is your last warning.
So for the last 55 years, I've been living on the last warning.
Glory to God. I said, glory to God.
I was saying something. Remind me, please.
Pastor, yeah.
So you discover that all they see their father do is like the opposite of what he's teaching. Therefore, they don't believe their father. Most of them don't want to become pastors at all because they feel their father is lying. Because the father has taken the gospel and applied it to himself, like, I am. Look at me. I am how it should be. And in the eyes of the people outside of the church, they might see the father like that. They've not seen him on the angry notes. One day, I and my spirit father were going somewhere in Lagos, and one guy did something. Papa abused the guy in Konkuruba. Like, do the Bukosh and all that. You know, in Lagos, that driving, you're a sinner. Like, you know that? Somebody just, you know, in Lagos is the place where you're driving that they don't travigate. If you travigate, you will die there. You will stay there. So you have to take the person by surprise. They're driving like this, want to enter. So someone just did that. I will just magic break. Yeah, just abuse the guy in the concubine. Abuse. Now look at me. See, you have to understand that this life is not. I don't understand what you're saying. So if I slap you now, don't you know that these people begin to explain themselves? In my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So salvation is not in your character. But a saved man should have what? A good character. But that is not what saved you. We were helpless. Then God himself came and took us away from there. Do you know it's actually not making sense that I was dying in sin? This thing, I was helpless in sin, dying. Then a Savior came and saved me. And because he now saved me in this place, and now I was now doing some sins, he now cast me back. That Savior needs a Savior. Do you get that? Because don't you understand that I was struggling in this stuff? You saw how helpless I was, and you saved me out of it. If I should in any way do anything that is not in line with that, you should remind me of I came to save you. That's the illustration before we end the service now. I've done this so many times, I'll do it again. How many of you know it good? No, a goat. I don't mean great of them all. I don't mean GOT, yeah. Goat, yeah. A goat have the tendency to be stubborn. Am I right? Very stubborn animal. Great job. But a sheep, we know, is very what? Gentle. So let's use a goat and a sheep as our equations. Am I communicating? The Bible even likened the believers to be what? A sheep. And the unbeliever to be what? A goat. Because of the nature. But do you know that someday a sheep can behave like a goat? It will just become so stubborn. Some people might not know because he didn't grow up in a village. He died his dad. But you know. You want to drag that sheep, it becomes so stubborn. The question is this: does that behavior make the sheep to become a goat? See, we must understand and relate materials as how it should be. We can say that this sheep just behaved like what? A goat. Who can say this sheep is behaving like what? A goat. See, for the past 1 year, this sheep is behaving like what? A goat. For the past 10 years, this sheep is behaving like what? A goat. The longevity of that behavior of the sheep cannot make it to become a goat. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? You can say you are confusing us. This is called identity crisis. You can say, I don't know how you will be a sheep and behave like a goat and all of that. But you do not have the right to go and sell that sheep to a man who wants a goat for sacrifice. You don't go and sell a sheep to the man who needs a goat for sacrifice as a goat because he's behaving like a goat. Will he buy the sheep? The same thing, switch it on. Let the goat begin to sing hallelujah. If the goat like, let the goat begin to do all the good things in this world. Before you call the goat will come. That does not make the goat a sheep. Am I communicating? Now let's make the goat to be a sinner and what? The sheep to become what? A believer. Believer like seen from now to 2,000 years to come, you are just a very stupid, idiotic, nonsensical, disgraceful believer. You know, some people can come to you and say, Pastor, bet me, or the believer this church bet me, I will keep disgracing this church. I will meet in heaven. You don't know it's possible? Some did not tell us, but they are doing it. See, I will disgrace the believers. I will sin all the sins possible. I will post on my status, cash up available. Green dots. What's that again? Mr. Fargo, thank you, my dear. I will do it. Disgrace us. In heaven, we'll meet them. Some people have said, you know, I don't want so much. I just want to go to heaven. Even if I've been a gate man there, I don't mind. Let me just enter. The truth is that doesn't change the nature of them. And that is why, as a believer, you must be given to ministry. Because that is only the checkmate to it. If you don't run with the vision of God, you will live your life anyhow on earth here. My communicating. It's not by self-discipline. See, that thing called self-discipline is actually very relative. You can discipline yourself in presence of people, but do you do that in your own private courts? So the goat, the unbeliever, can decide to be doing charity up and down. He can decide to attend church services. Give his tithe, whatever thing kind of giving is given. But if it's not a sheep, it is still what? A goat. We saw a classic example in Corinthians chapter, Acts of the Apostles chapter 9, chapter 10. The case of what? For the Cornelius. The Bible, the scripture said he was a man of great report among the Jews. The servants even say that there is a perfect man. You know, hardly would your workers say you're a good man. But they work for their belly, not me. But his workers had a good testimony about him. says the man who prayed is a devoted man, him and his household, yet he was not a born again man. The only thing good works can do for you is that it can actually attract redemption. People will always mistake you for a man who is saved, won't come and associate with you. And as the case might be, you might try to catch the redemption process. Glory to God. These things are easy. These things are easy. If you have not received the life of Christ, if you have not started this journey, this sweet journey, today could be yet another day. Can we get the keyboard to open this? Let's be on our feet as we end the service. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Say glory to God. I don't think you should hear this kind of teaching and still go home a sinner. I never told you that hell is not real. I never said so. I only told you that God does not throw anybody to hell. Men walk into hell themselves. But yet, because he has made salvation available to all. And for the grace of God that brings salvation that appeared to all men. That appeared to all men. That were inexcusable, oh man. For the grace of God that appeared to all men. And you just have to walk into it. It's as simple as that. And all you have to do is just to confess Jesus. It's not to confess your sins. You cannot just confess your sins. Confess Him. See, what it means to confess Christ, it means that you own up to the fact that He is the Lord and Savior of your soul. You believe that in your heart. And you confess it with your mouth. And that means you're born again. All eyes closed, please. All eyes closed and all heads bowed. I've not talked about the condemnation now. I didn't threaten you with hellfire. I didn't threaten you with death. Or anything that may make you to be scared. I only share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the redemption power of God. And if you're here in the house and you know you need the Savior right now, can you just lift your hands to the heavens? You don't have to be shy about it. You don't have to be thank you. You don't have to be shy about it. It's just you and God. The truth of the matter is, if you don't, you are still on your own. Alright, thank you there. Thank you. Thank you. Threaten you with hellfire. I didn't threaten you with anything. I didn't threaten you with anything. But I just shared to you how Christ died and paid for your sins. And you feel now that today could be a new start for you. You can raise that hand away. Let me see you now. All eyes are closed. Yes, I can see you now. Oh, glory to God. Now, surrender the house. Now, don't be like those people, or don't be like me. Those days when they will make a salvation call like this, I will not raise up my hand. I will be saying the prayer in my heart, so I will not embarrass myself. That is the clear-cut evidence that you have not even gotten ready to believe yet. I'm not going to call you out. There's no need for that. We're going to pray this prayer with me, where you are. Say, Father, I believe you are my Lord and Savior. Believe that you died for me and you rose up on the third day. If of course you've taken my sins away, I confess you're my Lord and personal Savior. Oh, thank you because I'm saved. Glory to God. I said, glory to God, everybody. Now take this comment. Lift your hands to heaven and take this comment. Say, I'm forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven. Now say it loud and clear. Say, I'm forgiven. By all standards.
By all standards.
Say, I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
By all standards.
By all standards.
I'm bought. For the price. Let me explain that to you. Hold on. I didn't say you are bought for a price. You are bought for the price. The price they tagged you. That was what he came and bought you for. He didn't bargain.
Say, I'm bought.
I'm bought.
For the price. Say,
I'm bought.
For the price. Say,
my debts have been paid.
Say, I'm whole in Christ. Say, I'm sealed in Christ. Say, I'm redeemed. Say, no more sin in me. Say,
I'm justified.
Say, my slate is wiped clean. Say, I'm a child of God. Say, oh, God lives in me. Say,
God lives in me.
Now say, God loves the hell out of me.
God loves the hell out of me.
To understand what I just said last night. God loved the hell out of me. It means anyone you want to think about it, that's what it means. We had hell in us. Jesus loved the hell out of us. Oh, come on now. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for redemption. So we'll have right standing with God. Say, I have a right standing with God. Say, I'm a child of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Glory to God. Now, on the premises of you being a child of God, they will come place demands over things. You know, I told you that Christ did not die so we can become wealthy. But in Christ there is wealth. Because in Him there's no poverty. Am I communicating? In Him there's life. There's no death. So we can place demand based on that now. This is the first Sunday of the month. I lift your two hands to heaven right now. And God said, this is the month of our bliss. Month of bliss. Month of bliss. To capture that in essence, it means that this month is easy. It's a month of easiness. Things are going to be easy for you this month in the name of Jesus. That amen seems like 2014 amen. I said things will be easy for you this month in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You can't stop the wind. You are unstoppable this month in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I've told you so many times that I'm not a pastor who's pushed by what for the month and all that. But anytime it comes, it is a serious thing. May you not take this word casually. I say this month is the month of bliss in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
There's a bliss in your finances.
Amen.
There's a bliss in your relationships.
Amen.
There's a bliss in your health.
Amen.
There's a bliss in your family.
Amen.
There's a bliss in your business.
Amen.
There's a bliss in the endeavors.
Amen.
All things respond to bliss now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The anointing for easiness is upon you. Things you struggled for in the past, they become so easy now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I learned that words matter. I learned that words are everything. It was because of the words of Jacob, or Isaac rather, that made Jacob to scam his brother. I hope you know it was not inheritance. It was not will passing across. It was to say the word upon them. If men of the past understand the efficacy of words, I say it again now. This month is a month of bliss for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Oh, glory to God. Say, pray, Father.